We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by M-Prize Bank. Coming up, the latest episode of One on One with former Chiefs Jeff Allen and Mike DeVito. 17 years of NFL experience between them, including 8 with Andy Reid. One on One is a weekly show from a couple of guys who know what it's like to step on the field for Chiefs Kingdom and can share stories you've never heard before with a perspective you can't find anywhere else on a weekly basis. One on One is proudly presented by Cookie Society. Don't forget to hit that follow button so you don't miss anything from the highest-ranked Chiefs podcast network of 2022. And now, the latest episode of One on One with Jeff Allen and Mike DeVito.
What is up, Chiefs Kingdom? Welcome back to One on One, a KC Sports Network podcast. I am your co-host, Mike DeVito, here as always with 9-year NFL veteran and Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl champion Jeff Allen. And we are bringing you all things Chiefs football from a player's perspective, AFC Championship Edition episode today. And nationally, he's known as Cam from Modern Family or Duke from The Secret Life of Pets. But around Kansas City, he's known by many as Randy Reid, Andy Reid's long-lost brother and owner of the Watercraft Warehouse. We are obviously talking about my brother, Eric Stonestreet, who joins us today. Eric, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you? Thank you for thanks for asking me to be on this very exciting week.
Yes, big week.
Happy to have you.
Big week. Funny, though, Eric. I mean, it seems like, you know, we're 5 years in a row now that we're back on. I mean, it just seems routine nowadays. But let me start with this, because today it's come out that Kansas City's no longer the favorite in this game. Jeff, I don't know if you saw this as well, but now Kansas City's no longer favored. I would imagine it has to do with Mahomes' injury. You know, I know you're as emotionally invested in this team as we are. Does it sort of get you, like, is there a little chip on your shoulder when you hear those reports come out that Kansas City is sort of underdogs now to the Bengals?
No, I mean, I'm fine being put in that position. I liken Patrick to a little bit of how Michael Jordan was. I think Patrick puts himself in situations to overachieve, and whether it's an injury or being an underdog, it's fine with him. I mean, I mean the Bengals have our number right now. So, and they're playing really good. I mean, they didn't just beat the Bills. They handled the Bills. Mm. And I think they have the right to be the favorite going into this game, given Patrick's injury and given how good a football they're playing right now. So, I'm fine with it.
I appreciate your humbleness. I don't have an issue with them being a favorite. My personal issue is the way the media is sided with the Bengals. It's like they're expected to dominate, and it's just a throw it in the bag, they got this win type of game. And that's really disrespectful. It's at Arrowhead. There's three wins with a combined total of 9 points, 3 points each victory for the Bengals. Two of those games we gave to them, in my opinion. It's going to be a great football game, two great football teams, but I feel it's disrespectful in the way they're talking about the matchup.
The Bengals, I will say, have a very speedy amount of confidence in general, not just with the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, I told Rich Eisen before that, you know, we experienced with Modern Family, like, we were on and we were the shiny new thing, and then we won a bunch of Emmys and kept winning Emmys, and then all of a sudden nobody wanted to talk about us anymore because we were the old thing and they wanted something new. And that's our, that's what we do, is what our nature is to move on to the new shiny thing. And I definitely think the NFL and pundits were in a hurry to move on to Josh Allen, to move on to Joe Burrow, to move on to forget the Chargers score, Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know what it is about Patrick. I think it's, he's so good, people just want to move on and don't want to keep giving him the credit he deserves. Now, I heard people this week talking about that he deserves everything he's getting because he's that good.
Yeah.
But it annoyed me so much last year how quickly everyone was ready to just go on to Joe and Josh.
Yeah. It's irritating. I'm a huge Patrick Mahomes fan. If you follow me on Twitter, you know that. I do think it's a little bit unfair. Dan Orlovsky and Ryan Clark, they both had the same exact take, and I think it's ridiculous. They said, Joe Burrow is a better quarterback, but Patrick Mahomes is the better football player. How in the hell is that possible?
I don't understand. Yeah. No, sorry, Eric. I don't want to cut you off, but these kind of criticisms are mind-boggling, and they come every single year to sort of – piggyback on what Eric is saying, it seems
like... Well, remember, we're dealing with people that are, you know, paid to talk.
Like, right, right.
I don't know how much you guys are getting paid for this interview. I'm getting zero for this interview. well, I'm not getting paid to talk. But those people have to come up with takes all the time, and it's always about the hot take. Well, those are guys that are educated football players, and they know what they're doing, and they know what they're saying. You know, yeah. Schrager today said that Joe, if he wins, he's the king of the AFC. And I, my question to everybody that says that, if he goes 4-0 against Patrick Mahomes, I'm like, first of all, I'm annoyed with, and it's not a current thing, they've always done it, Peyton versus Brady. I'm sorry, it's not quarterback versus quarterback, it's quarterback versus defense. And I know that's a simplified way of saying it, but until Patrick gets out there and runs corner routes and defends Joe Burrow's passes, it's not Patrick versus Joe.
That's a good
and
point.
So that annoys me right from the beginning. But my question is this: if Joe Burrow beats Patrick Mahomes on Sunday, or the Kansas City Chiefs defense on Sunday, and you are a GM of a fake NFL team, and you get to start your team with a quarterback.
This is.
Are you taking Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow?
That's the question. We were talking about that when everybody was talking about the MVP race. And that was the same thought experiment that I brought up. I was like, okay, everybody says, well, this person or that person. I'm like, if you are starting a team and you have one person to pick, you know, who's the first person you're going to pick off the board? 32 teams are going to choose Patrick Mahomes at quarterback.
100%.
And I'm saying until he is dethroned from that question as the first pick, he's, as far as I'm concerned, still the king at the quarterback role. And then we have to deal. It's a team sport. I'm not taking anything away, but Patrick and the whole quarterback versus quarterback thing has to change. The narrative has to change. To me, that's just a reason and a way for people to talk and create rivalries that, you know, aren't really there.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, that's a great point. You know, it kind of reminds me. So with my time with the Jets, Jeff, I think we had talked about this, but I laugh because it was very similar with Tom Brady and the Patriots back then, where it was like every year they were winning and every year people wanted to dethrone them. They hate the Patriots. And I remember one year, everybody saying Tom Brady's washed up and this team's over. You know, the Patriots are done. You're not going to see, you know, them to be the same the way they were back in the early 2000s. You know what year that was?
That's when we beat them. They won the Super Bowl. We beat them in Arrowhead.
Well, no, I was still with the Jets. That was in 2009.
They got this happened twice.
2009, they were saying, yeah, these guys are washed up. Like, no, no, they're not. But I mean, I think that to go back to what Eric was saying, what you were saying, Jeff, is, you know, people just, like I said, they want to move on to the new thing. But Patrick has given, and the Chiefs have given you no reason to do that. And, you know, another thing that drives me nuts, you know, we talk about the ankle injury and saying, okay, you know, Kansas City, this is going to drop them down a notch and whatever. Kansas City continuously, especially this year, but under Andy Reid since he's been there, continuously find ways to they have contingency plans for everything, right? So like we saw it last week. Mahomes goes down, Henny goes 90-something yards and scores a touchdown. They lose Hill, they fix it there. They something happens on defense, they change things around. I mean, they just adapt to the situation. And it's like now all of a sudden, because, you know, Patrick Mahomes isn't 100%, it's like they like Kansas City lost everybody. You know, it's like now they have nobody and there's no way they're going to win. It's just I don't get it. Eric, looking at this season, going back to sort of the beginning of the season, I brought up Tyreek Hill. Did you what were your expectations going into this year? Because I know this hate has started from Kansas City all the way back, you know, in training camp in the preseason. I mean, what were your expectations going into the season?
Going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the era we're in right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, my expectations were going to the Super Bowl. I mean, here's the thing. Jeff can speak to this, and some of the guys that I'm friends with can, you know, say it very well. We need to, as fans, enjoy Andy Reid while we have him, because he is one of one. They broke the mold when they made Coach Reid. His focus and degree of preparation, like you were saying, is second to none. And, you know, it just takes players being with Coach Reid and then not being with Coach Reid, or not being with Coach Reid and then being with Coach Reid, to understand, from what I understand, the difference is, right?
Yeah.
And so when I know that's the case, my expectation is we're going to the Super Bowl. I think we have the best GM in the NFL. I think he does the most with not as much resources as other teams. Mm-hmm. I think he is a wickedly smart with the draft. His team is incredible. They know how to evaluate talent. I mean, all I need to say right now on how great Brett Veach is the number 19 KT Kadarius Toney. I mean, we got him for the next 3 years. That dude is a stud.
Yes. Yeah, that's a fantastic point. And that's a guy that they were trying to get out of New York, right? I mean, they were actively trying to get rid of him.
But that speaks volumes to Coach Reid. He knows how to, I don't want to say handle guys, but he lets guys show their character, you know?
Right.
It's not that Kadarius was a bad guy, but maybe the GM there or the head coach there couldn't handle his personality.
Right.
Coach Reid can relate to anyone, and that is what makes him special.
He's probably the best, like Eric's saying, he's the best balance of that, right? Where it's like he has a systematic approach and the rules are in place and this is what we got to do to win. And there's, you know, no bullshit times during the day. I mean, you know, you go in there and you work. But at the same time, he's very much a player's coach. Like you said, Jeff, he lets guys show their personality, have fun. And it really, anybody can come into that situation and adapt to be a part of it and be successful in it. And I've had a number of coaches, you know, who weren't like that. And then, you know, how many times, Jeff, did we have somebody come from New England who played under Belichick and was just like,
stories. I won, but I hated it.
Like, I hated it. Like you don't have that with Andy Reid.
Well,
I
mean, to me, Coach Reid's, like, to get to the NFL like you guys did obviously means your work ethic is there, and you want to be successful and you want to achieve greatness, right? Or you wouldn't have been just accidentally pushed along the whole way, right? At some point, your talent and your preparation and your work ethic all had to come together. And to me, what Coach – it seems, because I'm not a player, it seems that Coach Reid does is attract people that want to be great and then shows them the way to achieve every one of their goals and every one of their dreams, and also – have a little fun along the way. So to me, I feel like guys see what's going on in Kansas City. They see big red and they're like, yeah, I want to go play for Coach Reid, because he's going to allow me to be me and guide me to the greatness that I started this whole journey to find.
Exactly. That is exactly right, Eric. Couldn't say it better. I'm curious, a little tangent and then we'll get back. But going off of what you just said, you talked about how, you know, playing in the NFL, you have to have talent, you have to have ability, but there's also that work ethic, and that's really what Andy Reid drives. As an actor in your field, you've obviously ascended to the top as well of your discipline. Do you are there actors and actresses who maybe you get frustrated with who have the talent and have the ability, but just don't have that work ethic, right? Or is it one of those things like the NFL where eventually the rubber's going to meet the road and you have to work hard to get to the top? Or there's some people that can just skirt by on their talent and ability alone.
Well, I mean, maybe once you've got some modicum of success, but the work ethic really comes from trying to get to the point where people know who you are in our business. You know, work ethic is going to every audition. The work ethic is preparing for every audition and not just sleeping in and missing them or not knowing your lines or things like that. But more than that, I know so many people that are actors that are qualified and funny enough or good enough to be on TV, but they haven't met that moment of opportunity.
Yep.
Versus the work ethic aspect, it's about that moment of luck, which I've never shied away from saying that, you know, there is a degree of luck that I had in my career. But at that moment that luck happened, had I not been prepared, as you know,
100%.
It means nothing. The door cracked open and I, a former offensive lineman, busted through the door and I wanted to do everything I could to stay in that room. So, you know, I always remember a story of a girl that worked at this place my friend did, and she was an actress and I wasn't on TV on a regular basis. I was working regularly as a commercial actor and guest stars and things like that. But you know, I was a person that a lot of people would come to and ask advice. And she did a showcase where a casting director came and thought she was really good. Mm-hmm. And afterwards said, I want to bring you in for this small part in a movie that Steven Spielberg's directing. And she had no agent. She had no representation. But here she met this moment, right, where her talent was recognized. And so she calls me for advice. And I just said, I hate to say it this way to you, but the only thing I can tell you is you have to be fantastic in that audition. Mm-hmm. Like you have to knock it out of the park. I don't know what else to tell you, how else to tell you, but that casting director saw some ability and talent and thought you would be right for this moment. And so now you have to be right for this moment, not perfect, right? But the best you can be in that moment, and then let the chips fall where they may. And it's so hard to imagine that it feels so out of your control, but it really comes back to like preparing the best you can to go in and deliver the best performance you can, because they're going to decide whether it's what they want or not. It's not like speed. We want the fastest guy. That's not the same thing. It's an opinion. But you have to give the best performance you can give. And that's just the way it is all the time. I mean, I'm sure, I don't know, did you guys have to go try out for things like when different times in your at the end of your careers?
I got really lucky. I was an undrafted free agent from the University of Maine. So I came in from a small school, got the opportunity to try out for the Jets in 2007. And Just like you said, Eric, I mean, I had to grind and work hard. The other thing that really helped me is, you know, the guys that were on that defensive line in 2007 were, you know, 12, 13, 14 years in the league. I mean, they were old. Those guys were old. And so
who were some of the linemen then?
Kimo von Olhoffen, Bobby Hamilton, Sean Ellis. Oh, you know who was there? Eric Hicks was there.
Oh, yeah.
So Hicksy was there. He played a long time in Kansas City. But those guys were ancient. And so like I had to make the most of my opportunity, but I also had a massive amount of luck in the sense that, you know, I was on a defensive line with guys who were clearly at the end of their career. And so they were looking to bring young guys in. I mean,
we all have those moments to get to success. But you call it luck. That luck was that opportunity, right? One of my mentors just always says success is when preparation meets opportunity. Mm-hmm. You never know when that moment's going to come. You never know when your opportunity is going to arrive or when you're going to get that chance. So you better be ready, get ready. So you don't be ready. So you don't have to get ready. And in a sense, I can remember in college, back to high school, I wasn't highly recruited. I was a 2-star recruit, didn't get a Division I scholarship until my senior season. It was only one, University of Illinois. I went down there mid-year, was out of shape. Just didn't have the resources back in Chicago. I didn't have a weight room. So I had a lot of catching up to do. The entire spring, I struggled in spring ball. I was third on the depth chart, down on myself. But the entire time, I never gave up because of the mentors I had back home, my mom, my coaches, my uncle. And we got to camp when all the other freshmen, arrived, and I was ready. We had a freak accident happen where we had three offensive tackles get hurt in training camp. Two were season-ending injuries, and one, he was out for a few weeks, the guy that was the starter. Well, they had no other options. They said, well, I guess we got to give Jeff a chance. I guess we got to give this guy a chance. And all they could picture in their head was the kid that struggled all the spring ball, a little bit during the summer, but the entire time I was getting better. And I knew if I continued to work my ass off, I was going to get the opportunity. I thought I was going to redshirt that year. I thought I was going to redshirt, but I was preparing like I was going to play. And because of injury, you know, I was inserted into the starting lineup as a true freshman and never let it go. And yeah, that was a little bit of luck, you know, that many freak injuries happening, but I was prepared.
No doubt. I mean, Eric, we had William Fichter on the show, and I asked him a similar question, and he said very similar along the lines of what you're saying, which was, you know, I talked to these young actors and young actresses, and they say, you know, he says, well, what do you want? And they say, well, we want to be famous. You know, that's the thing. We want to be famous. And he said, well, work at being a good actor like that or actress. Let that be your primary motivation. And then the fame will come. But like you can't, you're not going to get that if you don't work at being good. You know, your motivation has to be being a good actor and actress first. Yeah. And so, yeah. So
Bill Murray has the best quote about being famous. He says, try rich first and see if that doesn't get you everything you want and then worry about fame.
That's a great one. I got to write that down.
Yeah.
It's really good. Oh man. That's a Facebook one right there. That's great.
Yeah, it's a great quote.
You're listening to the fastest growing sports media network in Kansas City, KC Sports Network. We'll be back right after this.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Four NFL teams, two conference championship games, and only a few more shots to win big on the playoffs with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Counting down to Super Bowl 57, new customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly. Not a new customer? You can feel the same conference championship thrills with stepped-up same-game parlays. Take your shot at an even bigger NFL payout and boost your winnings with each leg at up to 100%. I love the stepped-up same-game parlays. I know DraftKings loves me making the stepped-up same-game parlays. You always feel like you got a shot, and you always get the big wins. You get the big boost on their wonderful app that I just absolutely love. I think it's the best sportsbook app around. Can't beat it. It's very user-friendly. And here's what you got to do. You got to download that DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code KCSN. New customers can bet $5 on the conference championships and get $200 in free bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code KCSN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See the show notes for details.
Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.
What was I just going to say? I was going to compliment Jeff, because every person that I know that's played with Jeff always tells me that they always refer to Jeff as, oh, well, that's my guy. Mm. That's my guy. So, you know, what made me think of that is thinking about how different acting is that my opportunity didn't come because the guy playing Cam went down with an ACL, right?
Yeah, right.
It's a business. Yeah. And I always think about how you guys have to deal with somebody younger, maybe a higher draft choice, maybe bigger, maybe faster, maybe built differently, coming in every year to take your job. And that's something as an actor that, like, I can't even remotely relate to, of showing up after season 6 and coming in and being like, hey, did you see they're bringing in some new cams? It's my role, though. It's
every Tuesday.
They're trying them out.
But hold on. No. I didn't say okay to this. Where's Beach?
Hey, listen. Oh, episode 3, you missed the line.
Yeah. But what I've always noticed with all these dudes, and mostly offensive linemen that I've gotten to know, is for the most part how you're all in it kind of together, right? You've all are willing to help each other, you know, and help each other understand, and how also quickly you can evaluate if the dude's got a shot or not, like, and how threatened you are or aren't by new number 66 coming in or whatever it is.
Right.
I can't relate to the, and then you throw in the draft of, you know, you're a third year guy.
Oh.
And then you're watching the draft, and here are the Kansas City Chiefs take an offensive guard, and you're just like,
oh, man. This is
an opportunity for me to give someone roses. Ryan Liljan, I was drafted in 2012.
K-State, baby.
Second round pick. I was drafted to take his job, right?
Mm.
He could have not took me under his wing. He could have treated me like crap. He could have sabotaged me. But that guy was – one of the driving forces in my career. Like, he took me right under his wing. He gave me all the knowledge that he had, and gave me an opportunity. Now, I didn't start out the season. He beat me out going into the season because that's the type of guy he was. But when I got my opportunity because of injury again, I was prepared because a guy like Ryan wasn't threatened by me. He was willing to give me that time and pour it into me. And that's the reason why I did the same thing in my career, because of that experience. And I thank him for that.
Yeah.
Well, what's so cool about that and what you said is confidence. That's what leadership and, like, being a badass is, right? Yeah. Is being confident in yourself and not threatened by other people, because you believe, you know, you believe in yourself enough to know that you're good enough, right?
Right.
So
that's good leadership. I mean, getting other people on board and coaching them up and loving them up or whatever it is, without being threatened, that is the definition of a true leader. That makes me so happy to hear that. I mean, that's a K-State guy. I love that.
Oh, and Jeff, you live that out, man. You live that out every day. Yeah, no doubt. That was definitely who you were. You know, we're hitting on another thing too, and I will get back to the Chiefs, Eric, I promise. But just real quick, you one thing we've talked about a lot on the show, especially, you know, Jeff and I being former players, Jeff was recently in a documentary where they sort of trace the lives of different former players after retiring. You know, one of the most difficult things is what we're talking about here. And that's that brotherhood, that locker room, that, you know, willing to, you know, put your life out there and help others and be, you know, take care of those other guys, even the guys in the locker room that try to take your job. You know, we recognize how important the fraternity is. And as we were getting ready for this interview, I wanted to ask you about Modern Family. And I know it's a little bit different because you're continuing to act and you know, do all the things that you're doing.
I'm on TV tonight, by the way.
What was it? Tell me, Eric. I know the name of the show, too. It's
American Auto. I had forgotten it was on until this morning, and I saw something else. I went back and shot 2 episodes of this show that it's on NBC tonight. I don't know when this airs, but so whatever.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, we should get it. Well, tell Jordan to get it out right away then.
No, no.
Hey, for our 2,000 views.
Yeah. We can get a lot more. Get a lot more over there.
We got Eric on there.
But no, but what I wanted to ask you, like, Modern Family was so was paradigm changing. And I'm sure as an actor or an actress, you do a movie and then you go on to the next thing and it's a whole different crew. You were with Modern Family for so long. Like, do you, in the way that Jeff and I sort of miss the locker room, miss being around the guys, miss the game, do you ever miss Modern Family, like going to work, seeing the people you're building that show with and putting that show together with and acting doing all the stuff that you guys do? I mean, do you ever miss that at all?
Oh, I mean, every day. Yes.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of it that I miss that we can all relate to. The camaraderie, right? Mm-hmm. Going, having a place to go every day. Look, I was an actor for 13 years before I got Modern Family. And people asked me like what I was most excited about. And it was that I knew where I was basically going to be on next Thursday.
Right.
I had a place to go. I had a parking spot. I for 13 years, I didn't know what my Tuesday was going to be until Monday. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know what I had going on. And so what Modern Family first gave me was that job stability. It was the first day or the first time I'd ever worked consistently more than 8 days in a row. Right.
Wow.
In 13 years. So that's first and foremost. Then obviously the finances that come with being on a show, I miss that. But more than anything, I miss just hanging out, like the camaraderie that you're talking about, that transition or that resonates on a set the same way it resonates in the locker room, is what we call Video Village, right? So we're shooting, and then between takes, while the camera's getting set up or moved or the lights are changing, we're all hanging out around the monitors with the director and the creators and the other actors, and we're all riffing and doing jokes and doing bits. And that's, you know, that's the part of it I miss. And then, you know, obviously my co-stars, but we didn't spend as much time together as people think. Jesse and I, when we were on the show, we were working mostly with each other. But it's kind of one of the little secret sauces of why Modern Family was successful, I think. And it was because we only really saw each other during big family scenes. Mm-hmm. And then every Wednesday we would do a table read. But it's not like we were all hanging out, like tired of each other and getting annoyed with each other or anything like that. We really were able to enjoy all of our time together because it wasn't as much as people probably think it was.
Yeah.
But then when that's the thing about like why I haven't been in that big of a hurry to go back because of COVID and the restrictions still in Hollywood as far as separating everyone. You know, when I went back to shoot this show we were talking about, American Auto, it wasn't the same experience. It wasn't the hanging out and the commiserating and the jokes and all that, because everyone's separate. So until it gets back to that, it just doesn't feel as fun as it used to. So hopefully that will change. And we'll get back to that sort of familial thing on set.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, thank you, Eric. That's great. I don't want to keep you too long. You're already on forever. I know your time is precious, and we really appreciate it.
No, don't worry about it. Just keep going. I'll get a look from somebody over there. In the mirror.
That's right. Talk to me about sort of as players, you know, we always had game day rituals and things like that as we're getting ready for the game. What is it like watching a Chiefs game with Eric Stonestreet on Sunday? I mean, any rituals, any foods,
It's awesome.
You were there. Okay.
I've had the pleasure to do that, man. You know, I felt like a high roller for a bit.
Well, here's what it's felt like different ways, different times in my life. You know, when I was a kid, I had season tickets at Arrowhead and I'd get there. I just told this story the other day. This is a great example. So I drove in from Manhattan, Kansas. It was Green Bay versus Kansas City Monday Night Football. I drove in from Manhattan. I took my mom to the game with me. We get in my car. We drive into Kansas City, Kansas, jump on a Metro bus that takes us to Arrowhead. And as we're pulling into the parking lot, my mom says, "You're going to kill me." And I said, "What?" She said, "I forgot the tickets at home."
Oh, man. Oh, my God.
And this, you know, this is obviously like 1993, four, something like that. And I'm like, okay, So we get to Arrowhead, and I ask the bus coordinator, like, here's the situation. He goes, yep, just stay on the bus. The bus is going right back to where you came from. So we go back across Kansas City to Kansas City, Kansas. I get in my 85 Cutlass Salon. I drive 25 minutes west to our house. I pick up the tickets. I get back in the car, drive back to the bus, get on a bus, go back to Arrowhead. And I still saw the opening line, the opening moments of the game, the pregame. My point to telling you all this is I get to the stadium like players get to the stadium. I'm there 2.5 hours early. I'm getting prepped. I'm getting fed. I'm getting watered. So my mom forgot the tickets, and we still made it with plenty of time for the game. So that has never changed. Let's see. The game is 5:30 Sunday. I will be there at 3:15. That means we will leave my house around 2:45, 3-ish to get there. I will get in. I will watch Patrick's warm up. He warms up right down in front of where I sit. I'll watch that. I'll wave at Porter, the one-armed coach. We always give him the one-arm wave back from our crow's nest up there. I'll get some chips and jalapenos, and I'll just watch warm-ups. I just love – Arrowhead is truly one of my happy places in this world. I love going there. I love watching the stadium fill up. That's changed in the last 3 years because when we got Patrick and I started to become friends with Brett, he's like, you're not going to want to miss a game. This is going to be great for the foreseeable future. So I talked to Lindsay, my fiance, and this was the last season of Modern Family. And I said, I want my own place at Arrowhead. I want to just be able to go and enjoy the games through this era. And so we got a suite. I have a suite that's right above where my season tickets were as a kid. Full circle. And so it's a little different experience now of going to Arrowhead than it used to be, but I love it. I try to have as much of an eclectic group of people as I can in the suite, but Chiefs fans, I'm not a social host. I told Lindsay from the beginning, I don't want to put it on you, but I'm not rubbing elbows. I'm not shaking hands. I'm watching football, and everybody in there needs to know that that's the case.
Yep. Right.
And so that's what we do. Jeff came to a game.
That's the truth.
And I just watched the game.
That's funny.
Hey, listen, he sat there locked in.
Yeah.
He said about 4 words to each other. And he said bye.
Oh, man. Oh, that's great. Eric, you're like one of us, man.
I don't know how to explain it. I've joked about it before, but like I feel as a fan and being a recognizable fan or, you know, famous fan like Paul and Jason and Rob and myself, I feel like it's my responsibility to be locked in and focused and set an example for everyone watching me because I know eyes are on me. Every time the team comes to town, I know Jacksonville fans were staring at me last week. I had people coming up to me being like, do you see all those people just staring at you? I'm like, yeah, I know they're staring at me. And I want them to leave knowing that I'm yelling and screaming and trying to be as loud in there just like everybody else. And I want to be that example for everyone and be the difference that we can as fans because that's what I can contribute to the game. I want to scream and be passionate and boo and do the whole thing. And I love it so much.
Oh, that's great. Eric, it's so
I wish it's embarrassing. You know, it is embarrassing to a point because I told Veach this. I'm like, it's crazy that because you guys strapped on a Chiefs uniform at some point in your life, I'm a fan of yours. Like you're in with me. That's it. It doesn't matter who comes and puts on that uniform. I'm immediately invested in everything about you. I want to know everything about you. I want to root for you. And if you're a good person and a good guy and you move on to another team, I'll still root for you, except for against the Kansas City Chiefs. And it's a weird thing that is just ingrained in my and so many other fans' soul of the sport and of the team that once you put on a Chiefs uniform, then I'm your fan.
You're listening to the fastest growing sports media network in Kansas City, KC Sports Network.
We'll be back right after this. Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
I remember the first time I reached out to you, Eric. I was thinking, there's no way he's going to respond. Like, there's no way. And then all of a sudden, boop, right back. I was like, wow. Like, so you really, I mean, it was, what you're saying is totally true. And talk to me. You've been around Chiefs fans from the beginning. I mean, talk to me about this fan base, because I know Jeff and I have been at other places, and there's just something special about Arrowhead, about Kansas City. I was out there for 2 minutes, and I realized right away, wow, this community is special. I mean, it kind of reminds me almost of a college fan base, in the sense that, boy, they are really on our side. Like, this community really has our back. I mean, talk to me. Has it always been like that, Eric? And is that how your experience with it?
Yeah, I mean, ever since I can remember, I became a fan of the Kansas City Chiefs when I was able to understand what I was rooting for, football. And so I'm like 10, 11 years old, and I had a Jack Rudney card, who was a center for the Kansas City Chiefs, and I loved that. And then I was at Indian Springs Mall, shopping mall, and Joe Delaney and J.J. Burden and J.T. Smith. No, it was Joe Delaney and J.T. Smith were signing autographs outside of a jewelry store, and I got their autographs. I still have that Joe Delaney card to this day. But that's what locked me in, right? Was like, okay, this is my team. This is who I root for. Then I became a fan of the sport, greatest sport, right? And got season tickets when I was in high school. I tricked my dad into getting them for me by telling him, well, it's a no alcohol section. So maybe that would be, like, believe it or not, that they had that back then. and so he got me season tickets. And yeah, I just think, you know, I've always said that about Kansas City without putting it down in any way, that we're a city that, if you give us a little, right, we appreciate it so much. It's like why Big Slick works in Kansas City, the charity that Rob and Paul and Jason and Dave and I do, is these celebrities from LA and Hollywood and whatever, they come to Kansas City and give their time, and Kansas City just soaks and eats that up, because it's like, you see us, you care about us, you like Kansas City. And I think there's just that love for our city. You know, that sweatshirt you're wearing, I can't tell you how many times I'm in an airport and I see somebody wearing a similar sweatshirt, and they say that Kansas City is the only city where people dress like tourists of their own city. on Kansas City.
That's pride, baby. That's pride.
That's great.
You know, another funny thing is, this is, I'll have to figure out how to tell this short story that's long. In LA one day, Lindsay and I were out running an errand, and I'm going to cut a lot of this out, but I'm driving to a point. We go into this grocery store, and I immediately knew something was up. Well, what was up was Ellen DeGeneres had hidden cameras in there, and she was doing a bit. Well, I just had walked into this grocery store not knowing there was a bit going on. And Lindsay, as we're walking down, she's like, babe, I'm pretty sure the cash register attendant is Michael Bublé. And I'm like, what? And so we get up there, and sure enough, I had walked into a hidden camera sketch on the Ellen DeGeneres show, not knowing it. Well, Michael thought they had sent me in there, and I was like, well, I don't want to ruin this bit. Anyway, we do this bit. You can watch this. Your viewers can go online, do Eric Stone Street, Michael Bublé, Ellen, right, for the point. So we go home, and I get a phone call from the producer of Ellen, who's a friend of mine, and he's like, hey, what are you doing? And I said, well, we just got home. And he goes, can you come to the studio and crash Michael Bublé's appearance on the show? And I was like, sure. So I went from literally not working that day. It was a rainy day. We were out getting firewood, to not doing anything, to then all of a sudden seeing Michael Bublé, then going to the Ellen DeGeneres show, being on the Ellen DeGeneres show. And then here I come out onto the show. Well, we were with, I'm going to name drop here for just a second. I'll pick it up in just a minute. We were with Roger Goodell and his beautiful, lovely wife, Jane. And she saw that, and she goes, oh my God, how did you get home in time, like, to then change into like Chiefs stuff? And Lindsay's like, no, that's how Eric dresses most every day. That's just what he was wearing. She's like, you have got to be kidding me. And I'm like, no, what's wrong with that? Like, I'm sorry. It was a big week that week. There was some, I forget who we were playing, right. But yeah, I was just wearing what I would wear every day. And I feel like I'm just like most other people. Like, we just are proud of our city. We're proud of our teams. We love our teams. And I'm constantly trying to get the word out. And in this case, it was me going head to toe in Kansas City Chiefs gear on the Ellen DeGeneres Show.
That's awesome. And that's the whole community, right? I mean, like you said, it's the whole community. It's like,
it just happens to be that I'm one of the people that goes on the Ellen DeGeneres Show. But if you could go into all these houses around me right now, I guarantee you most of them are dressed like this.
Right, yeah. Right. I have my whole closet is all red, all red Chief stuff. My wife is like, you can't wear that because it looks like you're trying to say that you played for the Chief. We're up here in Northern Maine, Eric. So like, it's all Pats fans. She's like, it looks like you're trying to show off. I'm like, no.
Doesn't Roger live in Maine or something like that?
I think he does have a place out in Bar Harbor. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful area out there. I'm more inland. Just snow. It's just snow over here. All right, Eric, you've given us so much time, brother. Before we let you go, thoughts on this matchup with the Bengals and Chiefs? What are your keys to the game? What are you looking at going into this game? How are the Chiefs going to get this done, brother?
Well, I was just texting with somebody today and saying, you know, it's kind of that thing when you're on an airplane and you're nervous. Mm-hmm. When you're the pilot, you're not nervous, right? As the passenger, I'm nervous because why? I can't control anything. Mm. I don't know really what's going on up there in the cockpit. I got to fly in the cockpit one time on a commercial flight when we were shooting in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and I couldn't believe how relaxed the pilots were taking off out of LAX once we got up in the air, and it really did so much for my anxiety of flying. And so I think if I was sitting in Coach Reed's office right now and staying up till 4 o'clock in the morning with him going over the game plan, I probably wouldn't feel as anxious because he's the pilot, right? He knows what's going on and he has answers for everything. And so in Coach, I trust. I don't think I would be remiss to say that I'm nervous about Patrick's ankle, but I truly believe he is not of this human species. He is made mostly of rubber, and there's been I think it's his training, obviously, with the Chiefs and with Bobby. And I think there's something that his bones and ligaments and tendons can do that other players can't, that is God-given and curated. Mm-hmm. So I know if anybody can do it, it is our quarterback, Patrick, and his competitiveness is unrivaled. I think our D-line, you know, Frank, he hits it at the right time. Mm. Pressures have been great. Mike Dana gets no credit for anything, but I think he's played, you know, great this season. Colin, I love Colin Saunders. I think he's just a dog. I just love how he is. I wish he would put down the phone sometimes on Twitter.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, I feel like such an old man when I see some of these guys tweeting. I'm just like, man, I love it, but also like,
all right,
okay. You don't really want to do that, but right. I love him. I've loved him from the beginning. Funny story, Veach invites me in to come watch tape after the season's over, and that year I was there, and they were watching Colin Saunders do backflips and all that stuff, and he never tells me who they're going to draft, but based on my day, I was like, I think we're going to draft that dude. And we sure enough did. I think we're going to win, but I think we're going to win every game. Like, I don't know if they run the way they ran last week with P. Ryan and Joe Mixon, that's a problem.
Yeah.
But I feel like we can run like that if we just let our guys up front do it.
Right.
Yeah, I would say have confidence in knowing that Jeff Stradamus said we're going to win. Have confidence in that.
Yeah,
you are right.
We're going to win the game. Have confidence in that. And then, as you spoke on, Patrick is out of this world. I don't know if our viewers and listeners understand the severity of a high ankle sprain, but But the fact that he's done this before and has success the following week gives me more confidence. But with a high ankle sprain, you're better off breaking your ankle than having a high
really?
Ankle sprain. Yeah. Like it is extremely. Have you ever had one, Mike?
No, but I saw the injury. I would retire.
I've had two in my career. They're extremely painful. With one of them, I wasn't able to play the following week. I was able to gut through one of them, but I play a totally different position. And the fact that Patrick was able to finish that game and do the things that he did, and you go back to when he played, I forget who they played the following week, but he came off a high ankle sprain.
Raiders.
He threw for 400 yards.
Yeah.
Raiders.
I mean, so this guy is out of this world. So have confidence, Eric. Don't get down.
I'm not down. This is – I just
– Don't be nervous.
I just get so anxious. I will be a nervous wreck. And you know, here it has a lot to do with Eli Apple and those cocky guys on the team and all the stuff that they talk and
talk. I cannot wait. It's been very silent on the Chiefs front from the
players. Yes, and it needs to be.
The fact that they're calling it Burrowhead or whatever they want to call it. All right, you're going to see it.
We used to do this all the time when I was with the Jets.
I cannot wait. The quiet before the storm.
Here's one thing I'm looking for. And maybe, I mean, well, no, I guess nobody's going to care what I say. I feel like if there's a trick play from the Bengals early, that means that they're not as confident as they say they are.
Right, right.
Yeah. Just any kind of weird thing. I always notice that when there's a trick play, it feels like you're trying to like take advantage early and get that weird score right off the bat because you know you need that weird score.
Right, yeah. Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah, get the momentum going in the right direction. Right. No, that's totally right. That's totally right. And here's the thing, too. You talk about the run game, and I think just getting quickly into the specifics, Spags' defense can play the run. They know they have Mahomes. They know they have a sky scoring offense. So when you watch these guys play, they're 100 miles an hour off the football because who cares if a team can run the ball? You got to score 50 points to hang with. But now the way the situation's played out, I guarantee you Spags is saying, hey, this could certainly be a game plan sort of move on their front. Keep the time of possession, get the football running. We saw they had success last week. Those guys will adjust their techniques, and I think they'll shut that run down. Eric, a score. Give us a prediction before we go down.
Hold on. I wanted to tell you one thing while we were talking about injury. I tore my meniscus on an episode of The Mentalist. That's as close as I have to a high ankle sprain in my I was on an episode of The Mentalist, and I got shot, and I tore my meniscus getting killed on that show.
How'd you do it? Was it like, did you fall?
So what it was is I come at them with a knife, and they come in with a gun, and they shoot me, and I do this and then drop out of frame. And I was dropping on my knees, and I didn't have knee pads, but they had a pad down there for me. Well, I did it over and over again, and I think what happened is I just, you know, 200 whatever pounds, 60 pounds, and I just all that weight coming down on my knees multiple times, bruised and tore my meniscus. But, bros, I went on to shoot an episode of West Wing the next day.
Let's go! It's a former offensive lineman. Like, there's Warrior. No question. You could have filmed the whole season of Modern Family with that knee like that.
Yeah. One episode of Modern Family, I had a gout. Oh, okay. I'll tell you this story real quick. So I had. Have you ever had gout?
No, but I've heard it's painful. They said it's like the worst thing.
Yep. It's the worst thing. I'm surprised more offensive linemen don't have that. They call it the rich man's disease, only because back in the day, kings got it because they were the ones that were eating all the fine and rich foods and drinking the mead and the wine and eating the high protein. So it's hereditary. My grandma had it. I was diagnosed with it at 18, and it's managed. But if I'm not careful and eat the wrong things, I'll have a gout attack. And knock on wood, I haven't had one in a long time. Sorry, Roscoe.
Come on in. Let's hear it.
He heard the knock. It was just me. I was doing that. It's okay. So here for your viewers and for your own personal pleasure, you can go back and find this episode. It was the second time I was dressed in a cat suit on Modern Family. And it was when myself and my rival, Senior, whatever his name was, Will Sasso, we were having a cat fight at the school. He was playing a cat as well. Now, here's the deal. I was having an extreme gout attack, and there's medicine for it. And they called the set doctor, and she got there, and they said, we can give you indomethacin, right, which is a high dose of an anti-inflammatory, and there's another medicine called colchicine. And I said, yes, I know these medicines well. Now, I'm in a cat suit, and it's a leotard. So it zips up the back. It's a one-piece thing. And I got this, Ed, you can bring up the picture. And she said, the only problem with colchicine is it can give you explosive diarrhea. And I said, I'm gonna fight through this. I'm gonna pass on the colchicine because I am not gonna be in a situation where I shit myself in a unitard in front of all my coworkers and crew.
Oh my God.
I fought through it. I battled through it, and you can watch that episode and you can see me limping. There was a wrestling match we get into that I was scheduled to do, that he was scheduled to do, but I couldn't do it. So they had to bring in a stunt man that's dressed like me in the cat suit because I was in such pain from this gout because I couldn't take the colchicine because of the off shot of me having diarrhea. So don't talk to me about high ankle sprains. Don't talk to me about forearms.
Oh man,
hey, Joe Klecko, yeah, Joe Klecko, my ass.
That's
right.
Oh, that's great, Eric. Oh man,
we could talk for days. I got a bunch of diarrhea stories, not on my hands, but during games for some guys. So I'll leave that.
We have to save those ones. Yeah, we'll have to save those ones.
I can't imagine. I think it's going to be a tight game. Back to your question, I think it's going to. I don't know. I'm not. 34-28 Kansas City.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
That's a good score.
So Jestradamus called the win. Eric gave us a score. We are ready to go, Chiefs Kingdom. Thank you for tuning in. Eric Stone Street, thank you so much for being part of the show. We are incredibly grateful for everything, brother.
Thank you. Here we go.
Let's go get this win, baby, and we'll be back next week with the Super Bowl edition. Getting ready because I know we're gonna get this win. Jeff called
it. Sir,
nice. Here we go, baby.
I hope so. See you guys. Thank you.
Go Chiefs.
Go Chiefs.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard and think others would as well. You can find all six of our channels at KCSN, covering the Chiefs, the Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company, serving collectors since 1945.